Hello and welcome again to Comic Connoisseur. Tonight we'll be talking about, superhero movies, expectations, trying to build and form these expectations, and sometimes how companies try to engineer them. Of course, I'm my co-host, JT from Saskatoon.
This is gonna be glorious.
Also with us is Red Ink.
What's up?
All right, so let's start with the obvious topic. Well, let's talk about the Venom trailer that dropped earlier, where basically the consensus early on was it didn't show enough. And JT brings up a good irony of this in that the modern critique of most trailers is they show too much, that you can extrapolate a movie's plot from trailers nowadays. And the Venom trailer shows so little that there's a mystery behind it now. And yet, like I said, there's this uproar of, it didn't show enough. Go ahead.
Sorry, you go red?
I think the whole, trailers show too much is fucking bullshit. Because this was it was garbage. It wasn't even a fucking trailer. I wouldn't even call it a fucking trailer. You could take any of What's-His-Face's roles and make a Venom trailer.
Tom Hardy.
You could take any of his roles from any movies and just take that music from the Venom trailer and just splice together a bunch of fucking scenes from all his roles, and you have the exact same effect of this trailer. There's nothing to it. The only thing that was Venom in that fucking trailer was the goddamn logo. And I'm not going to pretend this is going to be a great fucking movie, because it's going to be horrible. Fox always drops the ball when they're going to do it again.
Okay. I will agree with Red in the fact that it was a... I wouldn't call it a horrible trailer. It wasn't a very well put together trailer in the fact that... like, just to speak about trailers for a moment, okay... This is they called it a teaser trailer. It's supposed to tease us, draw us in, set the hook. It doesn't really do that because this thing is edited like a kid on ADHD, you know. That being said, and I agree, it doesn't have to be all go and no show like this trailer was, but you could have ended with Venom leans out of the darkness, you see that toothy grin, or like Tom Hardy's hands in screen, and all of a sudden the Venom, like the symbiote, covers it, and you see him pop his hand out, and like you see the claws like that. You needed something. Like, I'd say it is a decent teaser trailer, just in the effect that, you have no idea what's going on, and you may or may not be interested in it. And when you talk teaser trailers, I always like to draw comparisons to the best teaser trailer that I personally have ever seen. Now, have you guys ever seen the original teaser trailer for Friday Part 6, Jason Lives?
No.
I'm guessing that's a no. So the basic trailer is, it opens with like this eerie music, the ch-ch-ch, and it's raining, there's thunder and lightning. You go through this fence into a cemetery, you see Jason Voorhees on this headstone, lightning hits it, and the coffin sits up out of the dirt, and it just opens up, and Jason's not inside, and it's like, this summer he returns. Like, they don't even use, like, Friday the 13th, like, they have none of that logo on there. And that's a great teaser trailer, because, again, that may not work for you if you've never seen the Friday movies, but I think in and of itself, it's a good example of a teaser trailer. They needed to have a little flavor like that in this one. But again, it goes to like what we're talking about tonight. It's kind of like the expectations for the Black Panther movie. And how you were saying before we started recording, Ben, how people are like, this is the first black superhero. No, it wasn't, Meteor Man. Well, it's going to be the first R-rated, or it's going to be the first, R-rated superhero movie, Blade. It's going to be the first one with the Wayans brothers, Blank Man, although they're not in here.
I could have sworn there was a Wayan. I think brain farted.
But, you guys have to admit, there is, thanks to the internet, mostly, there is this culture of expectations and I forget the other phrase that talks about that, like where you talk about like some snot entitlement. Like a lot of people get this sense of entitlement. Like we want to know what it is now. And it's like, you know, less is more. I mean, I agree. You guys like, right. Venom should, there should have been some hint of Venom other than that one shot of like the symbiote in that armored car in like the, you know, container there. I mean, that's not enough Venom. We need that grin. We need that, the claws. I mean, what can you guys think of an example of like expectations were like way too high for a movie?
Well, the expectations, I think, are more than just a trailer. The expectations also build on the brand, on the people involved in the movie. All these things engineer the expectations. But at the same time, while it's true, like, there are times when trailers ruin what would be a great part of a movie. Like, for example, this is T2, Terminator 2. The movie, as it was written and produced, was intended for the viewer to have seen only Terminator 1 go in and basically not know who is, you know, there's supposed to be that Hulk Hogan moment. Whose side is he on? You know, what are you talking about? Whose side is he on? Where,
yeah, no.
And the trailer totally ruins that. And, I mean, it doesn't ruin the movie. The T2 is by far, you know, one of those crown jewels of 90s action cinema. It's just at the same time, just imagine how blown would the minds have been of the people who went in that theater the first time if they didn't know about that twist.
A lot. Now, I'm going to ask you, you guys, specifically you, Red, can you name the other time that the Terminator franchise shot its wad in the trailer?
Like every other time? You're talking about the fucking Terminator Genesis?
Exactly.
Is that the one that has what's his face from fucking Avatar?
No, that's Salvation.
No, I'm
Terminator Salvation ruined it.
Okay, so there's three times.
Four times.
Okay, so there's T2, Salvation, Genesis. What's the fourth time?
T3 kind of ruined it because it showed the scene where Arnold got taken over. Like, what I want is irrelevant. I am a machine. Put it in an Austrian accent.
I don't think that's too much of a spoiler, but, I mean, you look, definitely Salvation, but I mean, specifically in Genesis, and I have watched, I won't call
what?
It Genesis.
Is it specifically in what?
In Genesis. There's the scene in the first, like, the second trailer where, like, the biggest bomb in that movie, like, the Terminator being a good guy in T2, they should have kept this under wraps, is in the second trailer, they show the nano Terminator John Connor. That's like,
yeah, that was blowing their load way early.
Yeah, that's, and not, I, when I say this comparison, I don't mean it is as good as this. That's like a Kaiser Soze level reveal that you really should have. I mean, with the internet, it would have been spoiled within a day of the movie being released and people seeing and bitching about that online. I'm just saying with expectations, which is something you can play upon, that you should play upon with your advertising. You know, we have, like, that spoiler in the trailers. Now, not to beat the desiccated corpse of Ghostbusters 2016, and we've already discussed that at length, we all three of us agreed the advertising on that wasn't done with the pure intent of hooking people. I mean, we just got thrown a lot of cool visuals, a lot of the jokes.
A lot of cool what?
Visuals.
There was nothing cool in that fucking trailer.
Some of the ghosts weren't that bad. And,
they were.
But, I like I said, I liked the movie, but I just liked the movie. I didn't
I think you were clockwork orange.
Are you talking about movie. Ghostbusters 2016?
Yeah, I'm just saying with the advertising.
Let's talk about Ghostbusters 2016. Because the most hated trailer in the history of YouTube, and this is where another part of the topic, one of the many subtopics of controlling expectations, comes in. Sony did their own version of Damage Control. Any comment that was a legitimate critique of the movie via the trailer was deleted. Any comment that was was the original, which is, you know, the usual internet trolling of her women suck, was left on. This was done because they decided the best way they could damage control this trailer was by creating a narrative of, oh, you have to be misogynist to hate this movie. And this is a narrative that they pushed well into the movie's, well into the movie being released. And this is a case where this sort of social engineering just did not work. It did not work at all. Sony has a history of doing these sorts of things. Does any of you guys know about David Manning?
I've heard of him, but I don't know of specifically what you might be referring to.
Okay. Well, David Manning isn't even a real person. David Manning was
a... I think you're going on a tangent here. I know what you're talking about.
Let me finish, because we're talking about Sony. And then we'll get back to here. We'll get back to David Manning later. But David Manning was a fictitious reviewer persona that Sony Pictures and Columbia created for the sole purpose of making reviews and publishing reviews of their movies. Basically, if you've seen a good review of a Rob Schneider or Adam Sandler movie in the early to mid aughts, it was David Manning. And basically, there was basically what happened was somebody found out about this. There was a class action lawsuit against Sony Pictures. And if you saw an Adam Sandler or Rob Schneider movie in a theater between 2003 to 2008, Sony Pictures owes you $3. Because of the class action lawsuit.
Seriously?
Yes.
Wow.
And we'll get back to David Manning later, but I just because we're talking about Sony Pictures and Ghostbusters, I had to go there. So, but let's talk more about trailers. And I mean, the Thor Ragnarok trailer. I enjoy Thor Ragnarok, even though I could piece together a good 60 to 70% of the movie from the trailer. I still enjoyed what I saw. People still said, "Oh, they shouldn't have done the Hulk reveal." And I'm not really bothered by it. I mean, what do you guys think?
I'm not the Hulk was awesome. I mean, I loved it too much that I can't really complain about anything involved Hulk in that movie. I would have held off, you know, maybe that "What were you the god of" again, and then you see that awesome bit where Thor lands and stands up and the electricity is crackling off him. You know, I would have held off on that. And what do you think, Red?
I think that trailer can't be changed. It never revealed the entire story, but like Ben said, if you took some time to figure it out, you could figure it out. And like, there's a shocking hook when the Hulk comes out of the fucking from behind the gate there. And then there's another hook where you're actually laughing because he's like, "Oh, I know him. He's a friend from work," kind of deal. So it's all needed. It's all carefully pieced together. And I don't think changing it would have improved it.
There's not a whole lot you could do. Like, I can understand why they had like Hela crushing Mjolnir in there, because that's like a big thing, and that's not necessarily the biggest thing.
Well, let's be honest about the Ragnarok trailer, because I think the biggest thing is, I think Red's right. You can't take anything away from it, because the whole trailer in and of itself is almost as well crafted as the movie is. Because, and what the trailer does is build up your expectations of, "I gotta see it." That's your reaction from seeing the trailer is, "Oh man, I gotta see it." Not, "Oh, I just saw the best part, I don't need to see it." It's because everything about that trailer, the way that the hammer is caught by Hela, and you hear the bass of immigrant song just starting to build up in the background, building up until you can hear it. It's like that's everything about that trailer is well crafted. And like I said, Red's 100% right. You can't take away from that trailer without destroying the trailer.
Yeah. It's perfect just the way it is. But I think
there's very few trailers I would consider perfect trailers, and that's one of them.
Yeah, and it's like I said, that teaser trailer for, you know, Jason Lives is one of them for me. But, I mean, kind of the bigger thing is it's not so much trailers that spoil it, it's the fans and fan expectations, because, you know, going back to the Venom trailer, you know, everyone wants to see the, you know, teeth and tongue and, you know...
Well, you know what? I could go for a Venom trailer that doesn't show the symbiote if it was different than the trailer we got. Because that... I mean, I understand what they're doing. They're trying to make Venom look like a horror movie, and that can work with the character. It can work. It's just they didn't do it right.
I know. So would you think if... Was it the theme they're going with, Red, that was wrong about the trailer, or was it just the way it was cut and on speed?
It was too vague. Like, if we're comparing the Thor trailer versus the Venom trailer, and both are teasers. Like, the Thor trailer was a teaser. They came out with a longer fucking one later. The point of a trailer is to get you hooked onto the movie.
Get you
it's like, holy shit, I gotta see this shit. The Venom trailer doesn't do that for me. There's none of that. Doesn't get me excited at all. Doesn't get me interested. I don't want to pay my fucking $20 to go see this movie. There's nothing there. Maybe if you showed a little Spider-Man, got a little hyped, something. A little bit of the story to get me hooked. Nothing. You know, it was just random flashes of Tom Hardy's face.
And I was talking to a friend on Facebook, like, we were kind of arguing back and forth that where you see him freaking out in the MRI machine and it's the laces from, you know, the hospital gown, but I could have sworn that was going to be, like, that was, like, the tendrils from the symbiote coming out from behind his neck, which, until you slow it down, you look at some stills. I mean, it could have been, but it's kind of like our innate need to know everything coupled with the me, gimme spirit of the internet. Like, you can find out pretty much all information that you could possibly want. And, I mean, it's like we said, like, we wish the trailers showed a little bit more, like, have some comic book reference, something to make us think this isn't, like, some random, you know, a possession movie or something. Like, make, you know, we don't know that, unless you're comic fans like us, you don't know that's the symbiote in that container. You know, you have no idea what they're talking about Venom when you see, like, the logo kind of fade in at the end. So
I can splice the Mad Max logo at the end of that fucking movie trailer, and there'd be no difference.
He has a
complaint. You'd think it was a fucking trailer for Mad Max.
You're not wrong.
You could put The Conjuring at the end of that trailer, and it would look like a trailer for The Conjuring. I mean...
What?
I mean, honestly, like I said, the expectation of a Venom movie is high, especially after... made a fool of herself talking about Venom next to Kevin Feige. One of the funniest interviews in the world, by the way. Kevin Feige has this, what the fuck is this bitch talking about, look on his face.
Oh, he's just where he kind of, he's got that smile on his face, but you can see his eyes dialing into the back of his head.
Yeah, it's funny. It's Mrs. All Caps. You know, she's talking about deals that haven't even been made yet, and it's hilarious. But again, expectations of Venom is people's expectations are pretty low because Sony Pictures by itself has rarely made a good superhero movie, especially with the amount of studio control that they just are assuming on everything. Basically. This is not expected to be good. So fan expectations are low enough as is. And so the expectation is the studio would at least show what the fans are wanting. Just to reassure them. So, yeah. Instead we get this super vague trailer. And this hasn't brought hopes up either. Again, you know, the fan expectations are already low. And you aren't even showing what the fans are wanting or even expecting. Let's talk about other trailers that I would consider perfect trailers that built up fan expectation just right. You know, we talked about obviously Thor Ragnarok with the Immigrant Song, you know, maybe it's just a rule that I just love Zep, but I feel like the third and final X-Men Days of Future Past trailer was a perfect trailer in my opinion, with Led Zeppelin's Kashmir.
Yeah.
The best trailer for a superhero movie they ever made, and they're still trying to copy it. You see, every second time they make a fucking trailer, they're still trying to remake the magic of this one fucking trailer. And that's the Guardians of the Galaxy trailer.
You have a good point.
And it's not just the music, it's the music plus, you know, the camaraderie between the characters and the magic that is Groot.
Well, and the comedy as well. I mean, like the "Is She With You" moment from BVS was shown in a trailer, and that's because that was the only like moment of anything approaching levity in the whole damn movie.
Or some of the comments made by Alfred, but you know, that's me.
We're all in the trailer as well.
But yeah, no, it's. You think, like, because you talk about trailers building up fan expectations. I mean, you look at the Black Panther trailers. Like, again, those trailers, like a lot of trailers in the last, you know, 15 years, it's got a lot of the beats of the movie in it and some of, like, not all, but some of, like, the big visuals from the film, like the scene where T'Challa, you know, jumps onto the SUV and, like, just shoves his hand into the rim and, like, destroys it like that. And I was watching a reaction video or discussing that trailer video on, I think it's Double Toasted on YouTube, and they're talking, ain't that just like a black man to go after the rims? You know, jokes like that.
But I mean, you look at that trailer.
Yeah. That's what they said in the Double Toasted video. That's not my opinion. I just thought it was a badass shot. But my point is, you look at all the Black Panther no one's complained about the trailers for Black Panthers, like, putting too much out there or ruining the movie. No, the people complaining about Black Panther, and you've got two sides to this. You've got the, you've got, like, people from the black community who are saying, if you give this movie, it basically boils down to, if you give this movie thing anything less than 1,000%, you're a racist. And there's the white people who are saying, why are we going so nuts for this? It's just a comic book movie. And, you know, that's why I don't listen to the internet in regards to the ratings of the movies. I think it looks cool. I'm excited for it. I'll make my own decision when I see it this Sunday.
I'm going to make my own decision too, but this is a perfect place to talk about this. Honestly, I see nothing wrong with giving Black Panther a review of 4 out of 5, or you know, it's honestly, I'm going to say it right now. I think the movie is going to be enjoyable. I think I would watch it. I think I would be happy watching it. I think I will walk out being like, that was a good movie. But I think at best it'd be like an 85%. I think that, I mean. It's not exactly going to be the best superhero movie ever. It's not going to be the most revolutionary superhero movie ever. And it's certainly not a 100% movie. I mean, Shawshank Redemption has a 93%. And look, I don't care what you say.
Andy Dufresne.
I don't care what you...
Through shit.
I fucking love that movie, but it's... But... Again, I, The Dark Knight, if we want to keep in genre, is a 93%. I mean, to say that this movie is a pure 100%, I mean, it doesn't need to be 100% for me to enjoy it. It can be 85. That would still be a great accomplishment for it to be an 85. Go ahead.
The Black Panther is a hill to die on. Like, don't get your fucking expectations so high that you think it's deserving of 100%. Because I've seen the trailers. This fucking movie is not going to be the greatest movie ever. It's not a fucking Dark Knight. It is, if anything, we're lucky if it turns out to be an Incredible Hulk.
Like I said, at most, like I said, 85 would be a fair score if it knocked it out of the park. It'd be an 85 with the ingredients they had there. I mean, honestly, this is what I think is this is another case of Rotten Tomatoes trying to engineer a score. A reviewer, an Irish reviewer, gave the movie a 4 out of 5, and his biggest takeaway from his review is basically said, I wanted to see Black Panther beat up more bad guys. That was essentially the con of his review. 4 out of 5. Not a bad review by any means, but it wasn't glowing. So people started immediately saying there's a plot by the alt-right to plummet the Black Panther review down. And Rotten Tomatoes ixnayed this reviewer's score of 4 out of 5. Because it would have brought the score down to 98% aggregated. And I think that that is bullshit. And this is not the first time Rotten Tomatoes has done this shit. When Ghostbusters... Well, go ahead, JT.
I was just saying, one of the interesting things, like, first of all, I've never trusted any sort of internet-based, like, rating aggregator like Rotten Tomatoes, because a friend of mine pointed this out to me. Arguably, I've never seen the films, but arguably, Citizen Kane and Lawrence of Arabia are two of the greatest movies of all time. I've never seen the films, but they, if you looked at their ratings online, they actually have a less, like, they have a lower scored rating than Black Panther, which I'm not saying it's going to be the greatest comic book movie ever. I still say that's Superman 78. But I'm hoping with Black Panther, it's at least a Winter Soldier. And at, like Red said, at worst, the Incredible Hulk in terms of quality. I mean, I would like to think, looking at the trailers and that, clearly it's going to be better than the Incredible Hulk. But how can anyone form a... I don't want to say non-biased, but any sort of coherent opinion when all our possible sources to get said opinions or any sort of influence are obviously tainted already. You know, because you literally can't go in to see something like, hey, I heard they're making a Fantastic Four movie. By the time that movie gets out, the well will have been so poisoned, you've already, in the back of your head, in your subconscious, you've already made up your mind whether or not this movie is going to be a good movie or not. You know, so how do we go about judging anything fairly anymore?
We judge by our own tastes, that's what I think. But back to Rotten Tomatoes and the iffy things they've done in the past. I'm going to talk about the Ghostbusters thing, the 2016 Ghostbusters. Ghostbusters, when it came out, did not perform well its first weekend. They were trying to count on a high first weekend return to do a number one movie in America ad campaign. It didn't happen. So what they tried instead was, and I was looking at the scores when this was happening, they were messing with their algorithm in real time when reviews were coming in still. And what happened was, what, like, a 4 out of 5 would get you 80% usually on the score. And but they, what they did was they would change it to a 4 out of 5 would get you 85% for Ghostbusters. And they kept on tweaking the reviews that were, and the numbers that are coming in, because I actually did this when the reviews were coming in. I actually individually scored and tallied up what the final review score was, and it came out as like 63%. But they messed with the algorithm so much, the critic review came out as 74%, and they're like, well, that's certified fresh stamp. And they tried to use that as a way to sell the movie. And I found that very dishonest of them. And again, it's again trying to use a score aggregator as a way to promote the movie, to control the expectations. And I think that that is exactly why most people don't put stock in the Rotten Tomatoes scores anymore, at least not as much as they used to, because this was happening real time. And especially with Sony's past history with David Manning creating reviewers that created scores, that in itself is shady as shit. I mean, I think most people now, what they're doing is they are, you know, they're judging and creating expectations themselves based off of the trailers, or they are trusting a reviewer they find that has tastes very similar to their own. I mean, that's basically how you have to do it nowadays, because without that, you know, going by an aggregate score like Rotten Tomatoes, which is easily and has been proven in the past to be, you know, engineered, is just not good anymore.
This is true. Now, I know, how do you feel about Rotten Tomatoes, Red?
I don't go on those websites at all. I choose to judge a movie after watching it.
Okay, but
or I mean, if I see a really bad fucking trailer.
Okay, so, but I mean, what it, like, from what you know of Rotten Tomatoes, like, you don't obviously wouldn't use that site, but I mean, and what, you know, the info Red's given us, I mean, clearly they're some shady shit, right?
Well, they're owned by Warner Brothers, so that should tell you something.
You mean a conglomerate who's abusing their power in every way possible to promote their own products?
Well, it's not even just that they're basically, people are paying for numbers. Great example of this is The Orville got 19% from reviewers, but the audience score is 93%. That's a huge divide. And if you look at Star Trek Discovery, it has an 82% from reviewers, but from an audience, it's 56%. So, again, I'm looking at these numbers, and I'm looking, when you have a discrepancy this big, what I see is studios attempting to control and corral the viewing audience to like something via engineering. That's what I see.
True. This goes back to, like, back in the day, I would read the reviews in the newspaper, like Siskel and Ebert and the local reviewer for movies. You know, if I had an interest in seeing the movie, I would, you know, I kind of trusted Siskel and Ebert after a fashion. I mean, there was, for a long time as a kid, I thought, well, screw those guys. I loved that Godzilla movie. I still kind of do, but for different reasons now. But it used to be that you only had a limited number of sources to get information on a film, and a very, probably even fewer than that, that you would trust. But now it's just, like I said, there's so many sources. So how do you guys, aside from yourselves and your own discerning tastes, are there any sources for, like, movie reviews or any people their opinions you trust?
The Movie Blob.
No, God, not that communist piece of shit.
I don't really trust any sources. Like, even the popular ones, like, everybody loves, like, Red Letter Media, I still think they're full of shit, and I don't...
Yeah,
I don't watch their reviews until I've seen the movie myself.
I agree, because Red Letter Media, while some of their stuff is funny and some of their reviews are funny, at the same time, I feel like they've gotten a little pretentious, because a great example of this is
they've always been pretentious.
They got more pretentious over time then. But a great example of this is they're talking about the movie Battleship, which is like bad movie, but it's like bad good, you know, so bad it's good, kind of a bad movie.
Enjoyably bad.
And they're talking about, they're bad talking the part of the movie where AC/DC's Thunderstruck is playing, while the World War II veterans are prepping the Minnesota for battle. And they're talking about how bad that scene is. But I watched that scene, I'm like, this scene's fucking awesome! Partly
but
because
you're a war movie junkie, so.
Yes, I know, but that's my taste. And everyone's seen this scene, right? With the veterans prepping, you know, these 80-year-old men prepping this battleship for war, and with AC/DC blaring in the background. Come on, you got the blood pumping, right?
Never seen it.
JT, you've seen
it? I saw the title of the movie was Battleship, and I said, fuck that.
What about you, JT? You know the scene I'm talking about, right?
I know the scene I'm talking about. That was a pretty cool scene. I like that scene, and I also kind of like that scene where Rihanna, turned the minigun cannon on one of the aliens, Mahalo, mother, and then, turns her on. But, and again, it all goes back to it's a matter of taste. I mean, there are some movies, very well done movies that I've loved, like, stuff like Shawshank and even better than that. And I love watching Roger Corman movies. Like, my taste spans the gamut. I think the problem with a lot of people is at some point, and especially the ones that are like the very all the negative Nancys and the film snobs and such like that, that at some point a lot of people just make their mind up that it has to hit these three check marks, and it has to always hit these three check marks, and if it fails to hit even one of those, then it's the worst piece of shit ever. We all have a list like that, but it just seems like more and more people are just, they either want to know everything now, and if they don't get it right away, then they bitch and complain, and then when they actually see the movie, they hate it because they didn't get what they wanted the first time. It's hard to say anymore. You look back at like this, you got these people trying to boycott or sabotage the scores on Rotten Tomatoes for the Black Panther. Like, that's really going to ruin a damn thing.
It's a Marvel movie. It's going to sell out the first two weekends.
Here's three things. One, like Ben said, it's a Marvel movie. It's going to make bank. Two, it's a Marvel movie. It's going to make bank. Three, you can boycott it all you want, Snowflake. You ain't going to stop shit.
And again, it's to claim that there's a conspiracy trying to lower the score is insane. The score is going to be, the score is going to be several points higher than it deserves to be anyways. Because it's a Marvel movie. Not because there's a black actor in it, but because it's a Marvel movie. Because Marvel movies, I think, are basically like 3 to 5 points higher because of the Marvel Cinematic Universe. And I feel like that's just an expectation. But at the same time, we shouldn't be going off these reviews anyways. I just go off my own opinion. I'm going to see it. Everyone knows I'm going to see it. I'm not going to be turned off of seeing a movie because of review drama. I was going to see Black Panther before I even saw a trailer. I just like to watch superhero movies. You have to like make a really bad superhero movie or pick a really bad superhero to make a movie off of for me to say, do not want. And
well, they made Guardians of the Galaxy. Yeah. You went and seen it.
Okay, but let me ask you this. So start with you, Red. Okay, you knew Black Panther before Civil War, yes?
Yes.
Okay. You saw Chadwick Boseman in Civil War. Did you think he did a pretty good job with the character? Did it kind of hold up to whatever, esoteric list you had in your head?
Esoteric list? Like,
well,
what? Wrong word. You think I'm a Nazi?
No, wrong word I was thinking of. Just, like I said, we all kind of have that checklist. Did that, his portrayal of Black Panther, did that work for you? Like, did that, check that list off for you in your head? Like, that's what you wanted to see in a Black Panther.
I never had high expectations for Black Panther because, honestly, he's a C-list fucking hero. He's always been a C-list hero.
Now, that being said, he did all right, basically. He did good. Now, going forward with the find out they're going to do a Black Panther movie, maybe that got your interest, maybe it didn't, but having seen the ads, did the ads do anything to make you want to see the movie, or just did it make you want to see it, or did it just make you aware of the movie?
Maybe aware of the movie. But I said this before, I'm not a fan of hip hop, so bad hip hop.
The remixes.
And Bozeman did a fine job. Let's be honest. I mean, the fact that he did an African accent without it sounding terrible is a testament in of itself, because so many African American actors who try to do that accent
do not know the way.
Well, did you hear how he said in an interview how he explained how he came up with the accent for T'Challa?
If I remember, the actor who played his father actually taught him that African accent, which is a testament upon that actor as well. But I didn't watch the specific interview.
Okay, because in that interview he said, "This is the way T'Challa sounds like he sounds is, you know, it's like going to the greater context in history of the Black Panther and specifically Wakanda. They've never been captured. So why would his accent sound anything other than African, anything other than a tribal accent? You know, because there's absolutely no colonial affectations that have entered into their language, their vocabulary, because, you know, they've all learned English and probably several other languages. Because their education system.
That makes sense. But like I said, it's just again, fine actor, great performance. And like I said, the point remains is if you're even a passing fan of the Marvel Cinematic Universe, you're going to see this movie, regardless of if the trailer was good or bad. And if anything, Marvel is good at creating trailers that at least don't bomb the movie ahead of time.
It's with the devil.
But yeah, that's my opinion on that. One final note on trailers and expectations. Let's talk about the beginning of the Marvel Cinematic Universe and the very first trailer. You got some Black Sabbath, you got some RDJ, and all of a sudden, who was a Marvel B-lister that was drawn to look like Howard Hughes all of a sudden became an A-lister.
True, and that's another reason why that hits so well and hits so hard is, you know, Robert Downey Jr. might as well be Tony Stark made flesh, just in the history of, you know, like the whole substance abuse and being a fairly brilliant guy and all that.
And like I said, it was a combination of everything. It was the Black Sabbath. It was the trailer. It was the fact that we got to see. Everyone who even had a passing familiarity with Iron Man got to see what they wanted. They got to see the original gray, which looked fantastic, and you could tell it was a practical prop, which got everyone excited. I mean, that trailer did everything that a superhero fan would want. And that was the beginning of this man. Go ahead, Fred.
That was JT who was talking.
Okay, go ahead.
I was going to ask, like, would you agree with what Ben's saying, Red? Like, you know, it all began with that first trailer for Iron Man.
I never watched the first trailer for Iron Man.
What?
I've never seen it.
With the Black Sabbath?
I have never seen it.
One second. Oh, my God. Well, this is only going to take, 2 minutes, but... You've seen the movie, though, right?
No.
What? Are you fucking with me?
Of course I've seen the fucking movie.
But have you
seen... But I never seen the trailer. I was dragged to the Iron Man movie, and I thought it was going to fucking suck.
Okay, are you ready for this?
Alright.
Alright, three...
A live reaction, folks.
Three...
Two. Hold on, I got a fucking ad here. Okay. Matt Damon's stupid face.
Matt Damon.
Okay.
3, 2, 1, go.
I miss the days when you would get this green card before the trailers.
No one's allowed to talk, is that it?
AC/DC.
Intimidate them.
Good God, you're a woman.
That's probably one of my favorite lines from the movie.
It was all improv.
humbly present the Jericho.
To peace. Did he improv the arm raise like that? Or was that part of the script?
Now you work for me.
And I seriously thought that was the Mandarin the first time I saw this movie. Or he was going to become the Mandarin.
Wait, this is not the right trailer.
Well, you just have to go with it.
I know, but I need to find the right one.
I hate job hunting.
Yeah, vacation's over.
Welcome home, sir.
Put up the scanner, will
you? You know what one of the biggest flaws in the Iron Man movies was? It's Iron Man 3 when Tony calls out the Mandarin. Like, everyone already knows he lives there, so why are people bitching about him giving out his address in that in the news crew?
Like, okay, I found the real trailer. I apologize for this.
Pretty sure if Tony Stark exists, you'd be able to dox him like in 5 fucking seconds.
I agree. All right, so I found the real trailer I'm talking about. This was the first peek anyone got of Iron Man. You ready?
Hold on. I'm not physically. It's impossible to be ready in the time that you ask. All right.
All right.
3, 2, 1,
go.
The Da Vinci of our time. What do you say to that?
Absolutely ridiculous. I don't paint.
What do you say to your other nickname, the Merchant of Death?
That's not bad.
I mean, honestly, how could you not love RDJ?
I prefer the weapon. You only need to fire once. That's how Dad did it. That's how America does it. And it's worked out pretty well so far. To peace.
Is it cool if I take a picture with you?
So, do you think Tony Stark could actually be a real thing with the level of alcohol he drinks?
No.
No, throw it up, I'm kidding.
Or is he just looking for, like, he's gonna create his own techno liver? I like how they incorporated the landmine, like, shrapnel in the heart from the classic origin to the more modern, updated, you know, they move it from, like, the jungles of Southeast Asia to, you know,
Afghanistan,
Pakistan, like that.
I finally know what I have to do.
I'm just wondering how much money would they have had to pay to get Savage.
I'm working on something big.
Sorry, spoken correctly. I said, I wonder how much money they paid to get Savas for this trailer.
Quite a bit. Remember, this was before the Disney merger.
I think Disney would have looked at Marvel half as much if the Marvel Cinematic Universe hadn't taken off the way it did.
That was a big reason why they bought. Yeah, that was the trailer that got everything started.
I mean, it definitely got me hooked. I mean, if you're a comic fan, 9 times out of 10, you know about Sabbath and Iron Man.
Well, the funny thing to me about that is Sabbath actually wanted to distinguish their song from the Marvel character Iron Man for the longest time.
Really?
Yes.
I did not know that. How would that work?
Well, have you heard the song? It's.
I heard it. It's Iron Man. Iron Man does whatever an iron can.
Okay. Well, whatever. But again, it's like, Red, now that you've seen that trailer for the first time, what do you think?
It's okay. It's a trailer.
Again, I think that this was one of those trailers that was like everything people was waiting for and didn't even know it, because people have been like trying to play with the idea of using the Black Sabbath song with Tony Stark for years, just because, like I said, because because Black Sabbath has always wanted to distinguish themselves from the song, from the character that it's been hard. I mean, that's why the cartoon in the second season has like that kind of Black Sabbath song
that was more heavy rock inspired theme. Now, when you look at the Iron Man trailer, I mean, even at the time Iron Man had come out, he was at best a B or C level famous Marvel character in the eyes of a lot of fans. So, I mean, he's always been one of my favorites. So for him, me, Iron Man's always kind of been A-list. But the thing is, this is like, if you know of Iron Man or even passingly you see this trailer, well, you know, that gets you hooked. That sets the hook. You're interested. Let's see what's going on here. I'm just wondering, how could they, you know, take it back to Venom? How could they have done like a Marvel horror movie style trailer? You know, is there any way they could have taken the formula they used with this Iron Man trailer and applied it to Venom?
Honestly, I think there's an answer to that. The New Mutants trailer does a much better job of mixing horror with Marvel. And
there's a New Mutants trailer?
Yeah. It uses Pink Floyd.
Okay.
It's actually quite good, but I'll let you watch that in your own time. But it's an interesting trailer. I mean, and basically New Mutants has done more of a like a 80s style horror movie than a New Mutants movie that you would have imagined. And
interesting. As somebody who's a big time fan of New Mutants, that sounds horrible.
It could work. I'm not saying it will work. I'm just saying it could. But let's move on. I mean, honestly, I think they needed to go back to formula with the Venom trailer because yeah, I get what they're doing, but they didn't do it right. And Red's absolutely right. Could just take a whole bunch of Tom Hardy movie clips and make a Venom trailer. You could probably make a better Venom trailer off of a bunch of Tom Hardy clips than the one we got.
Not only that, you could put the Mad Max logo at the end of the existing trailer, and there'd be no fucking difference.
And I got to tell you guys, I got to say one thing. Give it a week, there's going to be a dozen fan-cut Venom movie trailers.
There already are. Know. But actually, this is an interesting point where we could... I think we could wrap this up here. I mean, honestly, like I said, we've seen studios and reviewers and aggregators try to control expectations. In the end, I think we're at a point where we don't pay attention to review aggregators as much. We might pay attention to one or two reviewers we personally trust. But at the end, we're probably going to see the movies we're going to see anyways. We're probably not going to see the movies we're not going to see anyways. And this social engineering that studios are trying to do isn't as effective anymore. JT, your thoughts?
I agree with you totally. Like, you got to go with your own values, you got to go with your own gut on that. I'm just saying this to the greater internet. Can I just ask for a little bit of restraint? You don't have to love the movie, but, you know, again, to go back to Ghostbusters 2016, watch the bloody thing before you start judging. You know, like, watch the movie. If at that point it sucks or doesn't suck, then you can crow to the heavens from the top of the mountain all you want, but wait until you see the bloody thing.
I think the Ghostbusters 2016 trailer is the wrong hill to fucking die on.
Yep.
Because
I'm not trying to die on.
It was obvious that movie was fucking garbage.
Okay, I don't disagree. I'm just saying, like I said when we talked about Ghostbusters 2016, don't judge the book by its cover. Watch the movie. That's what got me all hot and bothered when we got into that argument about it, you know, ages ago, is watch the bloody movie, then judge it. I mean, the only job of a trailer, like we said repeatedly, is to set the hook and get you interested. But if you're already watching a trailer, already saying, oh, this movie is going to suck, I'm not going to waste your money, then why fucking bother talking about it? So I'm just saying, see the movie, judge it for yourself, folks. I'm looking forward to Venom because he's one of my favorite Spidey villains. I'm looking forward to Black Panther because while he's not my favorite Marvel superhero, he's definitely one of the ones that I've grown to love a lot more over the years. How about you, Red?
Venom's overrated. He sucks.
All right. On that note, let's wrap this up. This is Eurospin.
And JT from Saskatoon.
Red Ink.
And we're saying goodnight.
So long.
Venom was originally a woman. Look at his first panel.